On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. This episode is supported by Personal Umbrella, where you can quote standalone personal umbrella policies of up to $5 million in 3 minutes online just by answering four simple questions. Our guest today is Claudia St. John, who's president of Affinity HR Group. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yes, we're happy to be speaking with you. And I guess as a way of warm up, I know the quote HR department has changed a lot. I don't even know if it's a department anymore. But back in the day, the HR department was absolutely ridiculed when I was back in the 80s and 90s when I was in the work world in New York and New Jersey and other places. These were the people who gave you your packet telling you what to wear, when to come in, when to leave, when you were vested, what to do when you had to take time off to go see the doctor. And I'm reminded when I think of those days of the Dilbert cartoon that had a suggestion box outside the HR department. And underneath the suggestion box was a shredder.
Yeah, so, that sounds about right.
Right. So, Claudia, we're hoping you can tell us how times have changed from that low point for the HR profession. We'll get into some fun topics that are very relevant to the insurance world as we start a new year here. But maybe why don't we start first with you and your career, Claudia? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, just to validate that Dilbert cartoon, we do a lot of conferences. We work with a lot of associations, I had a T-shirt that in bold gold letters in the back says "Got employees," and in the front it says "Your HR department." And I've had to retire that T-shirt. Because I have been accosted and yelled at by so many people who I don't know because they just hate HR so much. So I would like to say that HR as a wrap has improved. I am afraid I can't do that. I can say that our mission has improved, and you know what we try to do for the workplace is a different mission than perhaps simply checking boxes and being compliant. And in this day and age, I can tell you, and we'll get into it, but it's entirely HR's role to ensure that employees are engaged, that employees are happy, that there's diversity and inclusion in the workplace, that it's a safe workplace. So, the mission is an important one. People's actual, experience with it may be varied, but let's just assume the best. Thank you for the question. Yeah, so I own Affinity HR Group. We are an HR consulting firm. We work with trade associations to offer HR support to their member companies, and whether those are, agencies or carriers or anyone in the middle on the agency side, but we're also with car washes association and the janitors and the building and floor material distributors. So lots and lots of different industries. And we really work with companies that typically that have employees, but the person who's doing HR may not be a professional HR person. It may be an owner, it may be payroll, it may be finance or accounting that it comes under. So we're really there to offer support. I personally come out of the HR field with a focus on employee development and team engagement and communications. I wrote a book called Transforming Teams, Lessons for Building Collaboration and Restoring Trust. But we also do headhunting. We have a full service headhunting and recruiting division, a compliance, handbooks division, and compensation. So all the hot topics that folks are going to be needing to pay attention to for 2022. So it's fun. And the one thing I will say is that 2020 and 2021 with COVID, I think shone a spotlight on HR that maybe wasn't there before, which is that kind of like, nurses and the people who stock the shelves and janitors, HR professionals were really in need when businesses needed to figure out, you know, how to close down, how to open up, how to apply with these to these federal grants and apply these laws and keep a sustainable workforce and keep a hybrid workforce where that's applicable. And so I think we had some very stressful glory days in the last couple of years. And I think we all need a vacation. That would be my assessment generally of the HR field right now.
But what I really want to get into those topics, because I think their listeners are interested in those for sure. But how did you first get involved in this whole field in the first place?
So within HR or within the insurance space?
I would say the field of HR.
The field of HR. So, you know, I am an extrovert. I have done all of those Myers-Briggs and risk assessments, and each and every one tells me I am just gratingly and annoyingly extroverted. And for those who are not extroverted, I am, a walking nightmare. But I always knew that people were important to me, and being near and around people were important to me. And so the field of HR made a lot of sense to me. But the thing about HR, there is a compliance side, which is very structured, very process oriented, driven oriented, rules oriented. And I'm just not that, but I am the employee engagement side and employee development and just learning to listen to each other and work together and be better managers and be better leaders. So I kind of came out, I came into the world with this, and I think people around me, my advisors at college and my family, basically were trying to figure out a way that I could do as much good and as little damage with my extreme extroversion. And that's how I ended up in HR.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. It's cool that it's more than compliance. A lot of people just look at it that way, being about the rules. And
is much more. Yeah, it is much. And I think that's one of the challenges with HR, because people who are compliance oriented are not extroverted and never will be and can't be. So those who are not who are introverted, they have a hard time with the compliance side. So that oftentimes creates struggles for companies when trying to hire an HR professional, because unlike accounting or operations or sales, those dispositions, when you start off in your career, typically stay with you at the end of your career. But in HR, you know, if you're on the compliance side of the house, you're never going to be on the other side, and vice versa. So it's an important lesson for agency owners to know if they're looking to hire or staff their HR departments. They need to really be strategic in what they want those functions to be and what they want those professionals to do. Because you can get HR professionals are not all cut out of the same cloth.
Interesting. Okay. So as we look here, you know, you said the last couple of years have been tough on business and tough on HR professionals. As we look down the road here, what are some things you're seeing? What should, you know, our listeners are all in the insurance space, companies, brokers, agencies, and so on. What should they be thinking about? What are some of the big labor trends you're seeing out there and how it relates to hiring and retaining good people?
Absolutely. Well, Peter, it's been, we've never gone through a workplace disruption, obviously, like we just did with COVID and are still doing with COVID. And before the pandemic, about 10% of the workplaces out there had someone working hybrid in some capacity. Maybe that was a full-time remote person, or maybe that was somebody who came into the office every couple of weeks. So 10% of the workplace had some level of remote or hybrid. And now we see going forward that 60% of businesses intend to remain hybrid going forward, and 10% are getting away with their brick and mortar altogether. So that's 70% of the workplace is going to be hybrid at some level. That's a first trend that is massive. And what we know by looking at the data from Big Eye Virginia, Big Eye New York, Big Eye National, what we know is that this is also the issue in the insurance space, which has been a hard, agency owners know it's been hard to fill certain roles to get younger people and newer populations into the insurance space into those careers. And that's going to continue. So I think hybrid workplace is one very, very major trend. There are one or two insurance big eye state agencies that I believe are doing away with their brick and mortar altogether and will just be virtual. So we're seeing this at all levels, and not just in the insurance space, but in all industries.
I know we've got a number of other macro trends to get into, but from like an employee engagement standpoint, I think a lot of people, and maybe it's just the baby boomers, I don't know, who are managing a lot of these agencies and insurance carriers, like they worry about how do we keep people, you know, there's one extreme where it's like, well, I want butts in the seats. I want to see
butts
them
in seats.
Right. Mm-hmm. So under my thumb kind of mentality, but that's so dated. It was never right. It was always wrong. Okay, fine.
Yes.
But there is a grade. There's a gradual grade away from that where it's like, well, I don't care if they're actually, I'm watching them work, but I worry that if they're all remote or 70% of them are remote, like how we build culture, like how do you make this work? You know, I think that's Absolutely. What they're worried about.
And they're right to be worried. And I think that I'm going to use this word over and over and over again as we speak today. They need to be intentional about creating cultural inclusion, about creating culture and community and collaboration and trust with each other in the virtual space. And so, you know, again, hybrid means many things. It may mean that you keep a downtown office, but folks generally work from home within a geographic footprint that facilitates having folks come together for gatherings, for celebrations, for work meetings, for team development. It could also be that you've now hired, you know, your commercial lines customer service rep three states over, and being intentional around creating peer relationships and bringing folks together. You know, and one of the things that I've been saying to a lot of agencies is, right, if you're going to do away with your brick and mortar, that's a huge cost savings. I mean, of course, you need to equip your teams with, you know, with appropriate equipment and the software and the technology necessary to work remotely. But, you know, some of that cash, you look to hire a resort and you take a week to bring people together to do very intentional team building exercises. And a lot of engagement is that social aspect, but a lot of engagement is also looking at the duties of the job very clearly and having very explicit and intentional conversations with each employee around how are you doing with this? How are you doing with that? So many more intentional and frequent check-ins with employees on projects, on clients, on tasks. You know, that butts in seats, I got to tell you, Peter, that's a real thing. And I have talked with many agency owners who just want butts in seats. And I know agency owners who have required that during working hours, everybody's camera is on at all times so that they can just sort of dip in and see who's doing what when. And the thing about that is it is a lazy, lazy form of leadership and it isn't leadership, it's management. And it's a lazy form at that, because just seeing somebody clacking on their desk doesn't mean they're not on Instagram. It doesn't mean that they're not shopping on Amazon. You know, it just means that they are present. And a lot of employers need to focus and do some reading and do some research on the subject of presenteeism. And presenteeism is a bias. It's a new form of bias that we see in the workplace, where folks who are showing up and having their butt in that seat are deemed as being more loyal, deemed as being more professional, deemed as being better performers than those who are working quietly at home. And it's just, the data show us that's just not true. So I think employers need to be, if they're going to have hybrid workplaces, they need to reassess their own roles and responsibilities when it comes to communication, leadership, performance management, team development, and have an overabundance of intention and activity around training their leaders to do that, training the organization to be good at that, bringing in consultants to see what they can do, where maybe some of their weak points are, that they can develop stronger programs, check-ins, you know, tools to have those, to have that performance management. Because this is, if you just think that folks showing up means that they're better, it's just not true. The data show us it's just not true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember back in college and in the work world, there were a lot of students and a lot of my coworkers who, you might consider to be, this sounds harsh, but I'd call them the high lousies. They're like, they're like C plus students. Mm-hmm. You know, they were the people who, they had certainly had the street smarts. They did enough to get that C to pass, you know, to get, to stay under the radar of the boss, to get, and I feel like it's one of the other macro trends I know we want to talk about is the labor market and how difficult it is. Because when you're describing those people who work quietly at home and are super productive and they don't need the butts in the seat mentality, but you know, there's a lot of high lousies out there. And mm-hmm. I think trying to find really good people where you can build that environment of trust, you know, build that culture mm-hmm. where everybody's trusting each other. But mm-hmm. you know, it comes down to individual accountability. How do you find those good people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the good news, first off, is that you already have them. There is not an agency owner, there is not a company out there that I can't ask and say, so you know that your B minus C pluses, many of them turned into Fs over the last couple of years over COVID, and many of your B players became A plus players. You know who they are, and they do. I would look to see what makes them successful. What are the qualities that they have that make them effective? And ask them, what do you love about this job? What do you love about the work environment? What do you love about how it's structured? What's made you successful in this current role? So do a check-in with your A players. And that's the first step, Peter. And in this macro trend of tight labor market, the job now is to envision, imagine, close your eyes. Who does that A player look like in whatever setting? If it's going to be in the work, remote, hybrid in some level, but what do they look like? Are they Gen Z just coming out and you're ready to train them with your own culture and your own ways of doing things? Or is it maybe a baby boomer who can do this in their sleep and maybe only wants to work part-time as they ease into retirement or something in the middle? What do they look like in your mind? And then building not only the strategy for recruiting them, hiring them, but building the workplace around them so that they can be successful. The other piece that we recommend for the loud lousies, as you describe them, we strongly recommend behavioral assessments. We worked with Big Eye New York and with Big Eye National to develop the do-it-yourself hiring toolkit, which is part of Big Eye Hires. And in that, we've developed a behavioral profile of highly successful producers, both on commercial and personal lines, and highly successful customer service reps on personal, commercial, and blended lines. What does that look like for you? What are the behavioral characteristics as well as the experience that would make them successful? And using those behavioral tools to look under the hood to make sure this is somebody who's not just who's not just all hat and no cattle, if you will. I just used a cattle reference and I'm from New York City. So take that with a grain of salt. You know, use those tools because your gut is not going to be sufficient. And when you're just relying on your gut in hiring, or you're just relating to somebody, they seem like your kind of person. Us loud extroverts, if we tend to be loud lousies on that side, we can flim-flam our way through any job interview. And we can look spectacular and be lazy as the day is long. So mm-hmm. I do strongly recommend behavioral testing, especially in two areas. One, where people are going to have to be self-motivated to work from home. So you want to make sure that they have the right disposition to do that. And if possible, some experience doing it. And also when you're looking to hire those Gen Zs, those new entrants to the workplace who don't have any work experience, in those instances, you're relying exclusively on their behavioral characteristics. And you cannot assess that fully in an interview. You need to do some behavioral testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if, because I said hi, lousy, like you were saying loud, lousy. I wonder if there's a difference in those two kinds of person. The high lousies are the ones who, like, maybe it's a C plus, they do just enough, mm-hmm. but they're not loud at all. They're actually pretty, they like to stay invisible. It's like, I think of that show, The Office.
Yeah.
Where like Creed, you know, the character Creed, he's always like lurking around. They don't know what to do with them. They don't, you know, he's like sometimes he's in the ceiling, you know, he's in the warehouse, but they kind of have a way of hiding. Anyway, I got off track.
I would just describe those as lousies, and we all know who they are, you know, and I also think a flip side to that also, Peter, especially as we struggle to recruit and retain qualified people. Mm-hmm. If you have a Creed in your office, fire them, mm-hmm. because the more you let people get away with mediocre to poor behavior, the more you will engender resentment toward you and toward the workplace. Because if I'm an A and he's a C minus and I'm getting the benefits of effort that he is, I'm going to resent that. And eventually I'm going to want to go somewhere where my efforts can be rewarded. So you definitely need to weed out some of that, you know.
Yeah. It has a spillover effect on the people who are doing good work, you know, from a morale mm-hmm. standpoint. And so we talked about the shift to hybrid work, which is just huge in terms of the ramifications all around us. It has ramifications too for the customers of our insurance professionals out there. We talked about the labor market. There's another one you had brought up before we recorded, which is compensation compression. What does that mm-hmm. mean?
So compensation compression is a phenomenon that we're experiencing now. You know, after the Great Recession, we found that productivity increased as we built back the economy, but wages did not keep pace with that. So wages really have been stagnant over the last 10, 15 years. With the tight labor market, with folks, there is this phenomenon, we haven't mentioned it explicitly, but the big quit, the great resignation, and just these statistics, just to think about. In September, August, July, June, May, between 2.5 and 3% of the workforce quit every month. So in August, for example, 4.3 million people quit their jobs. This is after COVID was less of a concern. This was, mm-hmm. you know, after unemployment checks were keeping people home. They're quitting because they're burned out. They're quitting because they want something else. They're quitting because they're going to another job, or they're just taking time off, or they're retooling for their own careers going forward. So what this means is that we have a really tight labor market and a need for talent at the same time that minimum wages have been going up. And now that folks can compete outside of your own geographic area, you're competing not just with your peers within 25 miles of your agency or of your office, but you could be competing against folks on the other side of the country, many of whom can pay top dollar. So there's this race to attract talent. And when you're recruiting, what we have found is that talent is asking between 15 and 20% more than agency owners, than carriers have been wanting to pay for those jobs. But they have to pay it because they need the talent. So they pay it, but now they need to pay more to be externally competitive. But now that they do that, they are internally inequitable because they have folks who have been there for a longer time and are not currently. Those new pay rates are throwing compensation structures out of whack. So we have a compensation practice, and Peter, we have done more work in 2021 than we did in all of the 10 years previously combined. So every one of these folks that are listening to this podcast will probably know labor is hard to find. And when you find it, it is very expensive. Mm. So one of the things that we've been talking with folks about related to that is that you need to check and make sure you're competitive. You need to check and make sure you're not losing talent because of, you know, poor or outdated wage or commission structures. However, you're never going to win the wage war. There will always be somebody like an Amazon. You know, Jeff Bezos has enough personal wealth to, you know, take over like 10 countries on the planet. He will always, that company, they will always be able to beat you on the dollar game, but they can't beat you in the cultural war. And that's where agency owners really need to see. And this gets back again to that imagining, who do you want to hire? What do they need? You know, a lot of Gen Z, they want to be in the workplace because they crave, they have so much of the technology interaction, they crave the personal interaction. Maybe they'd like a cool car. How much does it cost to lease a car? $300, $500 a month, as opposed to paying $15,000, $20,000 or more in salary. Giving folks more time off. They want, surveys show, employees will take almost a 25% pay cut in order to have more flexibility and more time off. Restructuring your workday so that you have 4 8-hour workdays instead of 4 10s, or rolling days off, or whatever it is. Looking creatively, pet insurance for millennials, right? They all have pets. Thinking creatively about the people that you're looking to attract and creating a benefit and a workplace that speaks to what they want, in addition to being competitive from a compensation standpoint.
Yeah, really, really well said, Claudia. I think I wanted to, the final question I wanted to ask you is, and you kind of teed it up already, the insurance industry as an employment brand today, and what you think it could be in the future, even the near future. I mean, I look at the insurance industry, and particularly the local independent agency, but also a lot of insurance carriers that have operations in maybe some of the smaller cities around the country. This is a very, very stable industry. And everything I've seen, I mean, relative to the rest of the world, right? I mean, if you're in the restaurant business or entertainment business during COVID, you just got killed.
Right.
But, you know, it's stable, it's resilient, it bounces back from things. People still have to pay their premiums for their cars and homes and businesses and so on. The second thing is that if they could find a way to put in place some of that stuff you're talking about with hybrid work and flexibility, I think that would really appeal to the Gen Zs, who are now the oldest one is around age 25. Mm-hmm. They're coming into the workforce. It's a very, very big generation behind the millennials. And then the third one is, I think if they could know, again, through the employment branding process, a little bit more about how the local agencies and the insurance industry helps local communities, because that's also very important to young people. So those three things, stable industry, hybrid work, flexibility, and helping the community. I mean, it's so powerful, but yet I think people have the wrong impression.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, insurance isn't sexy. Well, it depends on what you consider sexy. Because Gen Z, we know that these folks are really fiscally conservative. They were raised by us, the Gen Xers, and we were latchkey kids. So we were we figured it out on our own. Nobody really handed us anything, which is not to disparage any other generation. Mm-hmm. But the way we raised these Gen Zs is, you know, suck it up, buttercup. No one's going to hand you anything. You need to go and figure out what it is. and in light of that, and the cost of education, and the, you know, some of the global challenges that these folks have grown up with, stable is sexy. Being taught the ropes so that you can be financially secure and know that you're going to be able to weather the storms and be able to get out in your community and not just do well, but do good. Those are very powerful themes. And, you know, I've been saying this, and honestly, I've been taken aside and told, please don't say that anymore. But one of the things I've been saying is, you know, a lot of agencies, even carriers, really any business, a lot of them have budget around marketing, mm-hmm. marketing and sales, right? How do we tell our story so that we can get more sales? How do we tell our story so that we can get more verticals or move into this area? How do we tell our story? Well, take some of that money and resource and effort and figure out, how do you tell your story to Gen Zs? How can you be weaving those threads so that you not only can create some innovative benefits, but just tell them what you do? One of the exercises that I have folks do, I was speaking to one industry unrelated to insurance, and they were large manufacturers, really, really like workforces of 20,000 workers. And they're all, where do the workers go? Where are they? I got a glass of wine and I got my cell phone and I climbed up into my hotel room and I tried to apply to 30 of these big companies on my phone. And I found that it was almost impossible. Either it was not, phone ready, or I had to download and scan and fill out and fax back these employment applications, or it asked me, the name, date, and serial number of anybody who's ever managed me ever. No storytelling, nothing that looks like me. Everything on their career site was regurgitated sale business marketing material, not speaking to my kid who's a Gen Z, but just sort of putting, we're the best in class laminate for extreme weather conditions. Who cares, really? I want to know that this is a home. Right. It's not my grandfather's job, but it's a place for me and my peers to create a new future, to innovate, to help, and to grow financially and within our communities. That's good stuff. That is sexy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, you have the companies that are helping you with your websites, mm-hmm. with your marketing material. Throw some money at them and ask them to help you tell your story. If you're not a good storyteller, I mean, most people in the insurance, because that's how you sell it's the stories that sell. But tell your story to the people that you need to hire, because if you don't, somebody else will, especially in this space. With the operating systems, the association management systems that are out there, really nobody has to live in the same location. So now you're competing against your peers all across the country. And those who really are intentional about creating a workplace and a culture that speaks to the next generation will beat you regardless of whether you can match them in pay or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I totally agree with that, Claudia. And I want to thank you for your time today. You've been a great guest, super fun. And our listeners, if you would like to learn more about Claudia's company, it's affinityhrgroup.com. Claudia, thank you very, very much. Wish you all the best for 2022.
Thank you so much. You too. And thank you for having me.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.